One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world tonight. WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel. Also, tonight on 5050 around the world, simulcasting also on Internet. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great one for you. The Sleeping Prophet. What do we mean by that, Pastor Buddy? We mean that sometimes deep sleep techniques is the answer to your prayers. Now, you may have been vaccinated against keeping the deep sleep techniques or practicing it or even looking into it. Most people in the 501(c) been taught and deceived in some cases to disarm them and to remove them from the proper way. Now, what is the proper way? How do we go into the technique of deep sleep? Well, it's easy if we're taught correctly, and by being taught correctly, we need an understanding in the Bible, first of all, how to achieve the methods of deep sleep. Now, the number one way, of course, is trance. The other is being called and used by the Father. Now, the Bible says, and this is true, hands down, can't take anything away from this scripture. Can't add anything to it. It's just the way it is. We fear the deep things of Yahweh. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in His hands. Now, let's go to the first time that deep sleep is mentioned in the Bible. There's a lot on it. You may be surprised. And you may be surprised at the techniques and the results of the deep things that you can fall into. Let's go to 2:21 in the book of Genesis. So Yahweh says Lord in your Bible. And Yahweh caused the man, Adam, to fall into a deep sleep. Now, let me explain a little bit of that. So Yahweh caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. Now, why did he do that? How did he do that? Well, you say, well, Yahweh can do anything. Well, let me ask you a question. There's people on earth today that can cause a man to fall into a deeper state of sleep. What would he be called? Oh, he's a warlock or a witch or something of that nature. You're not supposed to have anything to do with him because it's related to what we call hypnosis. Now, hypnosis is a modern term used today to describe what the word would say, deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Now, we know that it's possible to put a man into a state of sleep that he can't even feel pain. He can't even feel an operation. He can't even feel a tooth being extracted or the flesh opened up. We know that. But this guy is called a deceiver, a charlatan, or someone that is apt to deceive you. You can't trust somebody like that. But we can trust the bellbop preacher who warns us against such practices of putting someone into a deep sleep, or, like the Bible said, to observe that old astrology. Now, that's witchcraft. Glory to God. And we believe that because somebody told someone a long time ago to tell people that. Now, they got us to believe that it's you're not supposed to get around them old astrologers and them people of witchcraft. That's witchcraft. Causing somebody to fall into a deep sleep is nothing more than witchcraft. It's plain and simple, Pastor Buddy. Well, a closer look in the Bible, a sincere. Now, the Bible says, the day that you seek me with all of your heart. Now, what is a man's heart? There's two ways to look at deep sleep. There is a carnal sleep, and then there's a trance state. Yeah, but you don't want to get in that now. That's the devil that does that, Pastor Buddy. Well, right here in Genesis 2:21, we find it was Yahweh, the first one that used this practice of causing the sleep to come up on Adam, who was his son. Now, would he do anything wrong to his son? Of course, it was a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a trance state being. Let's look here at Genesis 15 and 12, talking about our father Abraham. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, there ain't a thing wrong with it. Who caused this dreadful darkness? And that's what the Bible, it's just his word, that's the Bible word. And as the sun was setting, Abraham, before he was changed to Abraham, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came up over him. Now, why would there be a dreadful darkness in a deep sleep? Well, it's a mystery, and I don't see it as a dreadful darkness. I know it is strange that you could fall into a deep trance. We know that trance is associated with the first level of a complete sleep. Now, you can dream dreams, and people are familiar with dreams. Everybody dreams to some extent. Some a little deeper than others, some a little less. Doesn't change your ability. You may have more ability than you've ever known. Now, why would we want to suggest, as we're going to talk about here in a series, maybe a couple of hours, just to spend on deep sleep techniques? Should we practice it? Should we seek it? Well, what other avenue of approach to the Father do we have? Now, we're not holy, and we got to be holy. And in a deep sleep state, would that produce a holiness, deep sleep? Well, we know that Adam wasn't in his present mind. There is an inward man, and there is an outward man. Now, which one of them falls into a deep sleep? Would you believe that it's the inward man? Can the inward man sleep? Does he ever sleep? Well, he needs to. Paul said, speaking on this in the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I did hear things that wasn't lawful for me. Now, what did he mean by that? I heard things. You mean he can go in a sleep and hear things? How can you hear in a deep sleep? Sometimes the greatest silence is deafening. That means the greatest revelation could come to you in a deep sleep, when Yahweh could choose to speak to you. But we fear it. We've been vaccinated from the word go. Our minds are set precautiously, if you will. Well, now you better watch that. That's witchcraft. We've heard it so much that we actually believe a lie. What did we else did we hear in the bell box? Well, we heard about Easter. We heard about Santa Claus. Bunny rabbits. Is any of that right? No. Well, let's go back to baptism. What did you hear in baptism? Well, I heard you had to be baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a Bible way, glory to God. And you better stay with that Bible. Don't wander off after a false prophet. If somebody comes along with a revelation of what Matthew 28:19 really says, then those who have been vaccinated or conditioned or programmed to think in a box. Now, to come into the holiness of Yahweh, you've got to have boldness. The Bible talks about entering into Yahweh with boldness. Well, but you better watch. See, we're vaccinated right up front. We're conditioned to think that a thick, dreadful darkness is fearful. With Abraham, he fell into a deep sleep. Now, the word is deep sleep, not just he went to sleep. Now, you can go to sleep in the conscious mind, or you can go to sleep in the subconscious. Now, actually, the subconscious mind does sleep. What about soul travel, Pastor Buddy? Can the soul travel? Can you leave your body? Well, Paul did. What did he learn anything? Yes, he did. What did he learn? Wasn't permitted for him to speak. He said, I just can't tell you. I can't describe it, for no man can describe what Yahweh's laid up for him in the day of visitation. You don't know what Yahweh's prepared for you. Have you ever gone to see it? It's there. You can travel, whether in the body or out. Now, can you travel outside the body? Paul declared that you could. You don't have to take the outward man with you. He can't go no way. He's bound. There's a barrier, that's built between Yahweh outward and Yahweh inward. Now, which man goes back to Yahweh? Well, the Bible says the man of inward goes back to Yahweh. The man of the flesh goes back to the dust. It's a separation. And it is a fearful, dreadful darkness. But Let's go back for just a moment. Let me expound a little bit about the day of Pentecost. Now, when the day of Pentecost, now we got those tongue clackers. Now, I've been in that 30 years, folks. And I never have seen so much deceit coming from those who claim that they've got the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue. 99.9 is false. Now, I make that claim by saying that, oh, they appear holy. Let me tell you how holy they are. When you preach or declare the whole counsel of the truth, they shall hate you for the truth or the name. Bring the name to them. The true name. You know, watch them fall into, a gibberish. Watch them speak in a tongue. They want you to fear them. Oh, you don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost now. This is the Holy Ghost. Since when does the truth of the Holy Ghost speak against the truth of the Holy Ghost? The Bible says that to have the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's pure, peaceful, believes all things, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. But these people don't really have the Holy Ghost. They have a seem-right Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will rejoice in the truth. Now, that's the positive proof and the puffing when you get in amongst these tongue clackers. Now, there's people that are honest and sincere. They mean good. But as far as their understanding, they don't have any. Except there's an interpreter, which very seldom there is. And when it's, oh, the self of the Lord, it will shun die. You know, this is something, it's just like a practice. You just take a little time off and go to an apostolic, I prefer, truth, and see if you hear any. Go to a Pentecostal church that takes this person up and fills them with the Holy Ghost and find that filled Holy Ghost in a bellbox church and express the truth and see how much truth they'll have. So David, in 1 Samuel 26:12, listen to this now. Samuel was just a little child. People have got a prejudice against little children participating somewhat in the services of Yahweh. Well, I've searched that whole Bible, glory to God. And God don't use little children. Well, he happened to use Samuel, 1 year old. He moved into the house of Yahweh. And when he was 3 years old, he got a visit from Yahweh, spoke his name, revealed things to him. Eli, the prophet, realized that this child, whom he'd overlooked, was going to be a prophet. And so David took the spear and the water jug near Saul's head, and they left. And no one knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping. Listen why. Wouldn't you like to have this type of sleep? This sleep don't come without perfection. Most people are afraid to preach what I'm preaching tonight. I'm afraid they'll lose somebody's ear because it's so vaccinated against. It's closed. It's literally closed up. From the same bell box that will get on the altar and pray to speak in some kind of a tongue and claim they've got the Holy Ghost, and when you give them the Holy Ghost test, you find out it's not deep enough. They were all sleeping because Yahweh had put them into a deep sleep. Yahweh. Now, that's against the church rules. We're not taught these techniques. And if you do perform these techniques, you are looked upon as a, you know, you're people afraid of you. You must be of the devil. Well, didn't they claim that the Messiah himself was Beelzebub? Here he is. He's practicing and keeping the faith that he once delivered to the saints. In the Bible, exclusively, you know, what's happened is that the bell box church has entered in, filled our heads with limits, set us in a box, made us afraid. And when we teach the truth, it's so strange and alien to us that we wouldn't know it if it hit us right in the head with a 2x4. The water jug. Yahweh put them into a deep sleep. Now, look at this one. 1 Kings 18:27. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Now, when Elijah called the bell box ministers, like they are today, same thing, ain't changed a bit, same old doctrine, same putting you in a box. That's why I call them bell boxes. I never learned nothing. I mean nothing in a bell box. Except I kept trying harder and harder and harder. And you have to try the spirits. Now, that takes quite a while. When you try these spirits, it looks like, it sounds like, and it appears to be good. But when you give it the litmus test, the word test, you'll see what kind of love unfolds. Elijah began to taunt him. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god that you're calling on. Surely it's Baal. He is a god. And the Bible says, truly, that there's many gods. You can make a god out of a jackass. Probably the jackass would have more sense. Listen to what Elijah. Perhaps he's in deep thought. Does Yahweh ever get in deep thought? Well, yes, he does, and I'll show you. The Bible says that we were constantly, now this is the house of Israel, we were constantly on his mind. Constantly. He couldn't. Have you ever had something on your mind that just kept digging at you? Shout louder. What about the training of the inward mind? How do we train the inward mind? What technique do we use? Do we follow the teaching of the bell box? I spent a long time there, and the only thing that I got was deceived by those spirits that I tried. But once you try a spirit and know it, and you've had a time to think on it pretty deep, maybe sleeping and has to be awakened. Sometimes, if you're sleeping, you may be sleeping in the wrong house. You may be sleeping in the wrong bed. You know, we'll get in a bed with anything, any god, any doctrine. And Yahweh talked about casting us into a bed if we got in the wrong bed. And we can get in the wrong bed. Job talked about deep sleep amid disquieting dreams in the night when deep sleep falls on people. Now, I'd like to make a statement here about soul travel. I do believe that the soul can get out of the body, break away. There's a silver cord attached to it. It'll come back. It's like a yo-yo. Every time you throw it down, it comes back to you. If you've ever had the sensation of falling out of bed, you just might have what we call an out-of-body experience, or beginning to have one, and we're so taught and so guarded against that. We just can't give up the spiritual mind, the deep mind that searches the deep things of Yahweh. We don't want that. That's fearful. It's a fearful thing. In a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their bed. Now, listen to this. Everyone has the ability. No one is slighted. We all have this. And let me ask you one question. Being in this present world, the third dimension, is like a fish out of water. Now, it wouldn't be possible for us to go to sleep and lay down in the water and sleep like a fish do. If fish sleep, I don't know whether they do or not, but I think they do. But a fish would be right at home. You wouldn't be. From this third dimension, we're in an environment as strangers and pilgrims. How do we find Yahweh? How do we return to Him? Deep sleep is one of the techniques that's been overlooked, trance state, and visions that we're talking about here. But listen to what the church has done in Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness brings on deep sleep. And the shiftless go hungry. Now, laziness does not bring on deep sleep. This is not referring to the deep sleep that Yahweh put Adam in. It wasn't laziness. We all sleep. I don't know why that we do, but we do. We all go to sleep. And when we're tired, it's a welcome point to lay down and rest. And we feel refreshed and wonder why. Wonder why we feel refreshed. What has happened during the night? In the visions of our head, the dreams, or maybe even a trance state that would change us from the shiftless laziness into a deep sleep that produces productivity and amazement. There's laid up for you. There is laid up. There is laid up. We don't want to go see it. We're afraid. We've been vaccinated against that. But a soul traveler is able to go and to visit in the nighttime in deep sleep. Here's Isaiah 29:10. Let's bring him in on the record. It says, "And Yahweh has brought over you a deep sleep." Yahweh. "He has sealed your eyes," talking about the prophets. "He's covered your heads," the seers. Is that how He brings on a deep sleep? Are we being taught in the school of the prophets? Did they teach technique? And the answer is amazingly yes. Who's going to listen to it? Nobody. Most of us who have been raised in a bell box, and they've set us in a box with a box on our head, covering our eyes. The natural eyes, the spiritual eyes, has never been covered. Listen to this one now. Here's a powerful scripture. I often use it in this teaching. I've taught on this many times, and it goes over like a lead balloon, which that's expected. But people just don't know what they're missing. Daniel chapter 8, verse 18. While the angel, here's the angel, Gabriel in this case, "While the angel Gabriel was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face on the ground." Now, ain't that a pretty sight? How would you like to walk up on this occasion? Here's Daniel claiming to be a prophet, and he just had somebody speak to him in a deep sleep. How would this go over in the bell box? How would you like to teach this scripture right here? Why would you like to be responsible that, or suggestive in this case, that there is an inward working of desire, of seeking for this occasion to fall into a deep sleep or a trance-like state with your face on the ground. Who cares? Now, it says, with my face on the ground. Now, what if it's muddy that day? I want him to look like a pretty sight. Here he lays in the mud with his face on the ground, and yet he's getting unspeakable things revealed to him. And then he touched me and raised me to my feet. Now, he was, first of all, put in a deep sleep. He fell over on his face in the ground. Then the angel administered another control, something he's in control. The angel is in control. First he puts him in a deep sleep. He falls haphazardly on his face in the ground. And then the angel saw that was not a comfortable position, so he touched him and he raised him to his feet. Now again, here it is with the productive answer. Daniel chapter 10, verse 9. And then, now Daniel was having trouble evidently up until that point, and then I heard him speaking. Now, can you hear the audible current, a real audible sound within you, as you are in a deep sleep? What would it profit you? Could you remember it? Well, let's see. And as I listened to him, here's Daniel intently listened with his face on the ground, first of all. Then he stood on his feet, and now here is Gabriel speaking to him, and he lit. Now, Gabriel's not the first time visitor to employ this technique. The first one was Yahweh. Some have entertained angels unaware. You could be in a deep sleep and never remember that Yahweh has touched you in the night. He could send angels right to your bed. They could lift you out of your present flesh body, remember it can't go with you, and carry your soul body or your inward body or your inward man. I wish we could get this. I wish we could see it and really dwell on it and seek Yahweh and get this bell box mentality out of our minds. I just do. The most powerful service I was ever in was not a word said. Now that's strange. The most powerful. Now, I was the instructor. I was teaching the class. It was the most serious attempt. I was about 30 years of age. I was young and eager and willing to try these deep sleep techniques. And I did. And nobody said a word. And it was one of the most powerful services I've ever been in. How can that be? And as he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, and he touched me and raised me to my feet. Here's the process of angelic beings coming, touching someone, just a touch. If you're trained properly, now, Is the angels and Yahweh themselves the only one that's employed with these techniques? Do we have regressive hypnosis? The techniques that can be employed by those who've been trained and operate the mind? Oh yeah, I've been to those meetings, Pastor Buddy, when they have you up there barking like a dog. This is using the mind to make money with laughter and contempt. They hold this. This is a technique. A trance state. There is such a thing as a trance state. There is such a thing as a dream state. There is such a thing as a deep sleep state. Practiced by the watchers, the angels, and Yahweh himself. Not being taught in the church today. No. No, 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 that's witchcraft, boy. We don't want to get in that. We don't want to go there, bless God. What do we do? Well, you get up the altar and you pray and you think, you know, Yahweh's done told you he's not going to hear you for what you say. Sounds like a bunch of hounds on the altar. It doesn't get louder and louder and louder and louder. They think they're being heard for their much speaking when Yahweh don't want you to say nothing. Be still. One of the first scriptures that I ever got, one of the first songs I ever wrote, was connected to Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just go into the New Testament. Read and look and study on some of these things. Spend a little time not speaking, but listening. Which is the more productive, to speak or to listen? If you speak to who? You speak to God Almighty? You think He's not aware of you and He can't speak? He can't tell you what to do? Don't you ever think that Yahweh can't hear you speak? Well, if He can hear you speak, you don't have to say no words. Yahweh don't have to say anything, simply because you're saying something and you think that you're heard for your much speaking, and that's not true. He's not going to hear you when you've got much speaking. Now, back to the sleeping prophet. Now, of course, this man that I'm going to speak well of, I have nothing against Edgar Cayce. I read his book probably perhaps 40 or 50 years ago by Jess Stern, In My Soul I'm Free, Edgar Cayce. He was born March 18, 1877. That's quite a few years ago. He died in 1945 in January. And he's a true American psychic. What is a psychic? Somebody. Christ should be considered, if you would. And we speak against psychics. And Yahweh was the most psychic being that ever walked the earth. Now, the sleeping prophet here, Edgar Cayce, was a Baptist preacher. Now, I'm fixing to tell you a little bit about his life here for you that would like to know and like to read some of his material. He's got over 300 books that's been written about him. 300. He's easy to find. Quite a few interesting people described his life and his prophecies. He's got some. Now, the way that you can tell a prophet if what they prophesy comes to pass, as opposed to those that, you know, like these prophets today, say something idly and it never happens and they change the subject later on and, you know, the rapture's going to be here and it comes and the time goes and it proves them false. But Yahweh's going to hold up a word of a prophet if they live close enough. Now, the problem is living close enough. You can dwell one event, one sleeping event. Now, here's, I could tell you that this one occasion in a deep sleep state of being by the prophet Gabriel, Daniel, was foreseeing the future. This was back in a time before helicopters and all these things. And here Daniel is caught up into a future date, and he wrote about in the book of Revelations mostly. Things that would come to pass. Now, a lot of these things in Revelations as you very well know, they're hard to understand. You know why? Because Daniel himself didn't understand completely. Here he is, just an old-fashioned boy. Never seen a helicopter, never seen a warplane. He'd never seen nothing like this. And he's drug out of the Dark Ages into these times of modern times. And Daniel had trouble of putting it in words. That's why Paul said, I heard things that was not lawful for me to say. Now, there's some things that Paul seen for future events. He just wasn't allowed to talk about it. But he also had saw things he couldn't describe. That's more or less what he was saying. Now, Casey, being a Baptist preacher, considering himself to be a devout Christian. And this was long before the emergence of what is called the New Age movement. And of course, that's been branded as witchcraft and things of this nature. And Daniel himself would have been branded a New Ager. He was a chief astrologer. He even saved their life. The Bible calls them and describes them as wise men. Now, I don't know. I know quite a few Christians. But I've never met one that's been trained in a 501(c) church that I consider wise. Never. It's not because the person is not wise. They can be. The Bible says that these preachers who train them or confine them into a box setting, they fill them with this fear and stipulations of, well, you better watch that now. You better not go there and better not go. Why? Why do they do that? They know by nature it's a fearful thing to fall in. They're not going to fall in. The Bible said they won't go in and would hinder them that would. When they compass land and sea, they make them 2-4 more the child of hell than they were to begin with. Hope you're getting this message tonight. I'm not going to give it justice. Why? Because this prophet here, Edgar Casey, if you was to bother to read, most of you won't. Hopefully some of you will. The metaphysical education for Casey began when he discovered how to go in trance. And he heard he had a guide. Well, what's wrong with a guide? We say, no, you got to watch them, boys. They could deceive you and put the wrong spirit upon you. Yahweh said himself, you have to trust him wholly and completely. He said if your son was to ask for an egg, would I hand him a rattlesnake? You think Yahweh would do that if you were earnestly seeking him on unorthodox methods of being fully persuaded in your own mind and the metaphysical education that you can come to? If you learn the techniques of deep sleep, how would you like to go in a trance and learn something from the other side? We go to the Bahamas and we go to Egypt and we want to go to the Holy Land, glory to God, and we want to run all over the country, run to and fro, seek rest and find none. But all we had to do is go into deep sleep, teach it and technique it, and make ourselves accountable to those who have certain gifts. It's not learned in the church. You better watch that person if you don't carry a Bible. You better do opposite. You better watch those that carry a Bible. You better watch those that's trained in the church world, especially when they appear to be somebody. Now, the people today on earth are searching for answers, and the bell box church just ain't giving none. They ain't got none. Now, some of Casey's readings, and I'm familiar with most of them. I've read If he's got 300 books, I guess I've read 25 or 30. He left us plenty of warnings of massive earth changes, which we're going through right now. Perhaps it's in conjunction with a pole shift, which he predicted in the 30s. He predicted in the 30s, and we've experienced it from the 60s to the 90s into the year 2000, and now we're in 2011, and we're having some of the greatest earthquakes, shakes, and trembles, and things of this nature, breaking up Earth's rotational axis. He talked about all these things. Yet he was a freak. And he went to sleep and he talked about things. Now, you don't know nothing when you're asleep. Don't tell me that, Pastor Buddy. You see, I would rather trust someone's asleep and knowing he's genuinely asleep and in a trance. Like I say, what do you got to lose? Try a prophet by what he says. People are so far back, they can't take truth. Truth kills them because they ain't been taught truth. But when they hear truth, it's so alien and so far-fetched, they can't have it.
Well, I didn't learn that in the church. Well, where'd you learn it at?
What'd you learn in church? I say, let's go over what you have learned in a church. Most people, if they're honest, you give them the litmus test, the word, I say, well, I didn't learn hardly anything. Everything I learned was wrong. And yet when we hear something new that the church don't teach or approve of, especially trance, well, you got to watch that now, Lord. You know, most people sleep in church. That's the truth. But they don't know what they learned. The preacher's so boring. They're not stirred up in their pure mind. That's what's wrong. They're so far off the base. Throughout his life, Casey was drawn to church as a member of the Disciples of Christ. Now, this is later after the baptism. He read the Bible once for every year of his life. Taught Sunday school. Sound like you. Recruited missionaries. He's said to have agonized over the issue of whether his supposed psychic abilities and the teachings which resulted were spiritually legitimate. He didn't know himself. Don't the Bible say that he would perform a work in you that you wouldn't believe though a man would declare it? And the more that it's been declared through a sleep state, the more you laugh at it. 1900. Now, let's go back to 1900. He formed a business partnership with his father to sell Woodman of the World Insurance. Woodman Insurance. 1900. But was struck by severe laryngitis in March that resulted in a complete loss of his speech. He was unable to work, and he lived at home with his parents for almost a year. And then he decided to take up the trade of photography, an occupation that would exert less strain on his voice. And he began an apprenticeship at the photography studio of W.R. Bowles in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where he was born. He was born, I think, about 11 kilometers south of Hopkinsville in 1893. Then he moved his family to Hopkinsville. Lived on 705 West 7th, on the southeast corner of 7th and Young Street, and he had an 8th grade education. He discovered his spiritual vocation when he was 4 years old. Left the family farm to pursue various forms of employment. Worked at Richard's Dry Goods Store and then in Hopper's Bookstore, located on Main Street. Quit in the ninth grade. Couldn't afford the cost. And then he began to talk about something that was so far anti-Christian that he questioned his own sanity and his own predictions. He began to talk about living people that he saw resulted. He could tell them that they'd lived a previous life. And then he'd go back and study the ancient art of reincarnation and said, I don't believe that. Why did I say that? When a stage hypnotist and entertainer called Hart the Life Man was performing at the Hopkinsville Opera House in 1901, he heard about Casey's condition and offered to attempt a cure. Casey, reluctantly, of course, accepted, and the experiment took place on stage in front of an audience. Remarkably, Casey's voice instantly returned while in a hypnotic trance, but allegedly it disappeared on awakening. Hart tried a post-hypnotic suggestion that the voice would continue to function after the trance, and this proved unsuccessful. And since the hypnotist had appointments at other cities, he could not continue his hypnotic treatment of Casey. And however, a local hypnotist, Al Lane, offered to help Casey in restoring his voice. Lane suggested that Casey describe the nature of his condition and predict his own cure while in a hypnotic trance. Casey described his own element from the first-person plural point of view, we, instead of the singular I. In subsequent readings, he would generally start off with, we have the body. According to the reading, his voice loss was due to psychological paralysis and could be corrected by increasing the blood flow to the voice box. Lane suggested that the blood flow be increased, and Casey's face supposedly became flush with blood, and his chest area and the throat turned bright red. After 20 minutes, Casey, still in a trance, declared the treatment was over. And on awakening, his voice remained normal and strong. Relapses were said to have occurred, but were said to have been corrected by Lane in the same way, and eventually the cure was to be permanent. And this is why they call him the sleeping prophet. He finally got a secretary because he could read for people, and Gladys Davis recorded his reading in shorthand. And from 1920 to 23 in Texas, his fame became famous in Texas. He spoke of past lives, reincarnation, which was not too popular of a subject in part to the Christian doctrine. Casey even questioned his stenographer as to what he had said in his trance state, but remained unconvinced. Casey himself challenged his own validated astrology and reincarnation in the following dialogue. Casey said, I said what? And she would read it back to him and record the following, and he finally grew enough to understand that the soul being transmigrated, because as noted, those readings from his time, of all that he met and was asked, he would give them readings even into what they had done in life, what they'd achieved, what they didn't achieve, what they need to be working on, and things of this nature. Of course, all under you reap what you sow. Christians don't believe that. They think that they can do something and get away with it and just get to an altar and fall down and pray. He gave 14,000 readings during a 43-year period from 1901 to 1944. All of them are trance discourses, which Casey revealed why in a hypnotic or sleeping state. And that's why he's called the sleeping prophet. The greatest amount said is nothing. To be filled with everything, empty yourself out of everything. Be filled with what Yahweh puts in your mind. Learn the technique. You might have the ability, not all people do. Most people are afraid of it. But it's a technique that the church world frowns on, laughs you to scorn, just like they did in the time of the Messiah. The greatest psychic in the world was Yahweh in the flesh. He could tell you days to come, years to come, in predictions, and they would all come true. Now, I know this is not for the average so-called, because they don't want it. They're not going to have it. They're going to refuse it and fight it to the bitter end. And yet when they lay down and die, they have to see whether this is true or not. Why wait? Why don't we join the forces of the subconscious mind, let it, which has the ability to remember everything that's ever happened in our body. That's the subconscious. What our journeys are, what our objectives are, what we have learned and what we haven't learned, what we're short on and what we excel on, and things of this nature. Why don't we? I don't know why. That we don't, other than fear. Fear has torment, fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living Yahweh. Eyes have not seen, ear hath not heard. It's not being preached today. That's why the Bible said, I have not seen. They don't want to see. They're afraid. They don't want to hear. It's something they ain't been taught. Damage is done to those that get into bed with unbelief. And let's come together. Let's hear the deep things. Let's search for those things which can be taught truthfully. Here's Casey couldn't even believe his own teachings, his own revelations that he brought. Oh, that's something. You know, most people believe every word they say. 90% of it ain't right. When things are right, people won't believe you. They'll cast your name out as evil. They'll have nothing to do with you. Listen, Pastor Buddy, I've got to get out of here. My time is already come and gone. And I'm sponsored by Brother Mark tonight here in the great state of Mississippi. Brother Bud and Brother Ed, a couple more of my sponsors. Brother Paul, here in the little town of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. And we would invite you to study on what I give you tonight in just a little. Educate yourself. Come out of the fear and into the things that seem strange. They sent it to Messiah. He talked about, I'm not a God of the dead. He's not dead. He's not dead in you. He's alive forevermore. If he's in you, if you ain't got him, it don't matter no way. But if you've got him, won't you grow in grace and knowledge and accept the challenge? Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, I just got informed in an update report by Brother Bob, our webmaster, down in the state of Arkansas, we've had over 20 plus thousand hits on our website. We've only been up less than 3 months, and we've got over 20,000 plus, still counting. We had over 1,000 to visit our website just yesterday. 1,000 people. So if you would like to hook up to our website, just visit oneyahweh.com. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in a spirit. We know that most times when those who met Yahweh, they felt that His feet is dead. No wonder it's a fearful thing. But if you've got the nerve, you've got the blessings, why don't you enter into a contract with Yahweh? Be fully persuaded. I'll be back Friday night on WWRB 3.185 or 50-50 on the radio dial. 50-50. I'll be back here 11 o'clock Friday night. See you then. Praise Yahweh. Have a good one.